The Loch Ness Monster, Nessie, we're talking about right now, has been an endearing character in Scottish folklore for some 1,500 years. And I've got to say, I've been to Loch Ness myself. I kept my eyes open, did not spot him, but it's a terrific trip I would recommend to anybody who's heading to Scotland anyway. Next month, modern science will be weighing in on the debate of whether or not Nessie does exist or has indeed existed not in sort of more recent history than we might think. Using environmental DNA sampling that's precise enough to find a single fish in a lake 20 kilometres downstream, Professor Neil Gemmell from the University of Otago and his team of scientists from around the world will descend on the loch to give the world a definitive answer. Neil joins us on the line right now. Neil, good morning.
Yeah, good morning. How are things?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Thanks very much for joining us. I must say, as a big fan of urban folklore and the like, I am really intrigued by this story.
Great. It's a lot of fun, and you're exactly right. You know, I went to Loch Ness a couple of times, and you watch two of us after two of us pull in there, and every person looks out across that loch wistfully, hoping they'll see something. you know, that's believers and non-believers alike, because we want to believe that there are things out there that we still don't understand, and that's what really, I think, captures the imagination with this project. But, you know, fundamentally, this is science, right? So we're using modern science to see what is in Loch Ness, monster or not. We'll get a astonishing amount of information about the biological life that exists within Loch Ness, fish, crustaceans, mollusks, bacteria, algae. And to me, that's valuable science. But it also then has the hook of, well, what if they find something that no one was expecting?
Am I right in saying you yourself are not necessarily a believer that Nessie is just the world hide-and-seek champion for the last 1,000 years?
Yeah, I'm willing to believe there might be something that we don't fully understand in Loch Ness, but I don't really believe that there's a Loch Ness monster. I'd like to think there's a biological explanation for what we observe or a scientific explanation for what people have observed.
Tell us a little bit more about this environmental DNA sampling. Just how does it work and how accurate are the results?
Yeah, so it's actually fantastic, I've got to say. So I've been doing this now for about 3 or 4 years. So it basically works on the idea that as we move through our environment, we're constantly losing cells or biological material. You know, so as I move through my environment here at the university, I'm losing, you know, hairs, eyelashes, bits of skin, you know, biologically we're constantly creating a mess. It's just that mess is so small most of the time we don't detect it. And it's exactly the same for organisms moving through water. And so if there are fish moving through the loch, they will be losing skin off the surface of their bodies. They'll also be excreting into the water. And each time they do that there's a DNA trace that is being left behind. That's for the big organisms, and for the small organisms, well, they're just so small that they're present in pretty much every water sample that you might take. So we've got a phenomenal amount of biological material in the water. I'm not trying to put your listeners off going swimming or drinking tap water or what have you, but, you know, life's messy, and we can use that mess to figure out what lives in a particular place, and that's the environmental DNA.
Now, you mentioned life is messy there. Obviously, I don't think there's been any really recent spawnings of Nessie, certainly since the advent of really high-quality camera phones. I don't think anybody's spotted Nessie.
Oh, no, you're wrong.
Is that right?
Last year was a record year for Nessie sightings.
My goodness, I am not up to date with the Nessie sightings at all.
They had the world record Nessie sightings last year. So you can log on to a place called the Loch Ness Register, and there's a guy there called Gary Campbell, and he documents all the reported sightings. And with cell phones, the number of sightings keeps going up.
Well, let's assume that maybe there was something in there at some point, whether or not Nessie's in there at the moment. Is there any way of telling whether we might be seeing an animal that once existed in the loch that has since gone extinct, given Nessie's very, very long history at the loch?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I mean, I guess the idea is that there's still something there because people keep seeing sightings, right? Environmental DNA is quite sensitive, but it also turns over quite quickly. So what we're going to get a snapshot of is what is living in Loch Ness in the first 2 weeks of June this year. And probably the eDNA, the environmental DNA, survives in the water for maybe 24, 48 hours. So, you know, critics of my expedition would say, oh, well, you know, even if you don't find Nessie, that doesn't mean she doesn't exist or it doesn't exist. It's on holiday, it's hiding. You just didn't go there on the right day. You didn't hold your mouth right. All these things. And to that, I just, I don't know if Nessie's there. I don't even know if that entity exists. But we can figure out what is in Loch Ness at that particular time. And if, you know, Nessie's this big mythical creature that people talk about, and it really is a biological entity, then it should be leaving traces somewhere in that environment. If it's a mythical creature, well, we can't test that. If it's an alien creature, we can't test that. We don't know what that would look like. So people who want to believe will find reasons to continue to believe. We can test other hypotheses. So some people have suggested that what people are seeing is not a monster, but maybe giant catfish, giant sturgeon. I had a picture last year that was sent to me, and it was three seals swimming in synchrony. So it looked like three humps of a serpent, if you like. There are biological explanations that this technology could lightly shed light on. You know, did the Victorians put a giant catfish in Loch Ness 100 years ago? Well, if there's a catfish population there, then we'd expect to find DNA signatures of catfish within our samples.
Well, that would absolutely be fascinating.
It's going to be a lot of fun. It is going to be fascinating. Yeah.
Just as a final point, Neil, let's say you do find something in your extraction from the lock that perhaps defies the explanation of a catfish or anything we have on record. What would actually be the next step?
Well, I think independent verification is absolutely key here. So we're taking multiple samples, we're splitting them up across multiple different laboratories. And so what we need is to get hits from different labs on the same sample. And then, of course, that just says, hey, there's something unusual about that sample. And then the next thing would be, well, we'd better go back to Loch Ness and do another sample. in case, you know, because if this thing is real, we should see it again.
Well, Neil, very happy hunting. Thanks very much for joining us on the program this morning.
Yeah, it's a delight. Thanks very much for the interest. And if anyone wants to follow us, I'm on Twitter, and they can follow LochNessHunters.com, find out more about the story.
Tremendous. Thanks very much, Neil.